This is Gloria Minot Presents.
My guest is Anthony Davenport. His new book, Your Score, An Insider's Secrets to Understanding, Controlling, and Protecting Your Credit Score. Mr. Davenport is a credit expert, founder and CEO of Regal Credit Management in New York. And with that, good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Pleasure to be here.
Nice to have you. Well, with so much ire directed at Equifax following the massive data breach at the credit reporting agency, one wonders, can I just avoid Equifax altogether, or for that matter, all the credit reporting agencies? Can we?
Not really. There are definitely some steps you can do. And, USA Today interviewed me from different ways that we help people kind of hide from it, because we work with a lot of high-profile entertainers and athletes, and they like to reduce the amount of exposure they have to these different types of things. But so one thing that you can do directly is you can opt out of having the credit bureaus sell your data. And there's a website for that, optoutprescreen.com.
All right, repeat
that. Great way to just opt out, OPTOUTPRESCREEN.com. Great way to quickly tell them, stop selling your data.
Because they make a lot of money doing this.
That's how they make the majority of their money. It's really not by selling you credit monitoring. It's by seeing how you spend money, everywhere you spend it, how you pay it back, and then selling it to prospective lenders.
Do we initiate this relationship with a credit bureau, or do they find us?
No. So, when people turn 18, it's not like you got a letter in the mail that said, hi, we're the major credit bureaus. We'd like to collect data on you and then sell it. Opt in here. So they've somehow been able to get around this through lobbyists or whatever, in which they do collect this data, and in fact, there's no oversight as to how they're supposed to protect it, which is why the credit bureaus took so much heat last year. And, I dedicated the biggest chapter of my book to how avoid identity theft in the first place, and it starts by doing a method that the credit bureaus don't like you to do because it freezes your data and also stops them from selling it to other prospective parties. So that's the best thing you can do to protect yourself.
I tried to, after the Equifax breach, I tried to call or to get in touch with them to, well, the recommendation was that you put the freeze on. But you have
right.
to pay for that, don't you? They charge a fee.
A couple of the bureaus waived it temporarily, but in normal times, they will charge you a fee to place the freeze with each of the three bureaus. And then when you want to unlock it, you have to pay an additional fee again. All because of something you never signed up for, but it really is the most effective thing. And unfortunately, it is a cumbersome process intentionally. It takes 23 steps to lock and unlock your file, and they don't have any inclination to want to make it easier for people to do that.
My guest is Anthony Davenport. His book, Your Score, An Insider's Secrets to Understanding, Controlling, and Protecting Your Credit Score. How did you get to know all the insider secrets of the agencies?
So first, I was a banker for 10 years. I worked at places like Bank of America and Wells Fargo, and I just, throughout the years, saw thousands of people who were kind of walking blindly into the bank to say, we need a loan, how does our credit look? And I began to learn what the bank wants, how their systems are geared up, how they really prohibit you from getting access to this data, such as, they don't allow banks to give you the credit report in many instances that they're using on you. And instead, they push you to these false credit reports that the credit bureaus will sell directly to you, and those don't really do any good. So I began learning about that procedure, and then I started working with high-profile and high-net-worth clients to help them really improve their credit. And after getting question after question, I decided this really needs to be in a book, because this is something that every person needs to know, how to best position themselves so that they don't lose this game.
How did the credit bureaus amass that kind of power over consumers? How did that all begin?
It happened. And it really started with who you really have to consider their customers. Their customers are big institutions like the banks, like your store cards, like Macy's and others. They pay money to report data to you in exchange for them being able to see data from you on from other institutions. So throughout years, they got lawyers, they got lobbyists, they consolidated their power, and they now have this right to do this without us asking. And it's really scary because they collect a lot more data on you than you think. It's not just your name, your address, and your social, but your employment history, your phone numbers. They also will collect things like salary data. The list goes on and on and on of what they collect on you. And we really don't have much of a say in terms of how they protect it.
So how does the law allow them to do all this? I mean, private companies that serve business, the business sector, at the expense of consumers, how did the law allow them to do this, have that much power?
It's a great question, Gloria, because I don't know, other than that they have lobbyists and they have lawyers, and they've basically been able to say that this is something that they can do. And during the whole Equifax hearings, nothing came out of it to tell them that they need to protect their data better or to allow consumers better access to really protecting their credit, because credit monitoring doesn't do that, or any other oversight in terms of how to secure the data. Nothing really came out of that. It's really disappointing. So it's on consumers to learn this system and learn what they need to do in order to protect themselves and navigate in this world.
My guest is Anthony Davenport. We're talking about his book. It's called Your Score, An Insider's Secret Studies to Understanding, Controlling, and Protecting Your Credit Scores. I have a couple of other questions for you before I let you go. What would you suggest that someone should do in getting information from the credit bureaus? What should they do?
The first thing is you really have to get an accurate credit report. It was lost last year in all the headlines, but each of the bureaus paid fines of $25 million for falsely advertising that the credit reports they sell consumers are the same ones banks use.
It's not?
So, it's not at all. In fact, if you were to come to me and say, Anthony, I need help with my credit, my staff is not allowed to schedule a consultation until you have a real bank report. So we cover a few tips in the book on how to get your hands on a real report, and on top of that, how to read it, because it's not going to look like any of the cute and bubbly things that you can get from Credit Karma or Credit Sesame or the bureaus directly. So that's step one. You really have to be reading from the same page as them, looking at the same report, and then you have to understand what it should look like. What are the banks really looking for? I call it the perfect credit profile, and that's something that we lay out, too, because you should know what it should look like, and that's not something taught in school.
What about bills that come into my house? What should I do once I receive them?
So I always recommend paying bills unless they are a collection notice. So 35% of Americans have medical collections on their credit reports right now. And unfortunately, the common sense approach is if you get one of these bills, just pay it, because it originates mostly from people that have health insurance, and insurance companies get into dispute with a doctor or hospital over how much should be paid. But if you simply pay it, it's like admitting guilt. It lowers your FICO score further, and it will stay on the record for 7 years.
And emails, should I be concerned about the security of emails and the things I do there and the credit bureau, how they get involved?
Absolutely. A little known fact is that your Social Security number can be purchased on the dark web for about $2 or $3. It's easy to get that.
Great.
Yet your email, I know, right? Your email username and password sells on average for about $30, 10 times that. And the reason is because we do so much through email these days. You know, all of your bank monthly reports, credit card statements, all these different types of things are going to be sent to you via email. And if you ever forget your password, what happens? They email it to you.
Mm-hmm.
So thieves love to have access to your email, and that's the most valuable thing. My advice, set up two-step verification. It's really easy to do. You can Google it with any provider you have, and that will protect you from the vast majority of this type of theft.
My guest is Anthony Davenport. His book, Your Score, An Insider's Secrets to Understanding, Controlling, and Protecting Your Credit Score. Is there a website that you put information on that folks can kind of get in touch with you?
Yes. My website is anthonymdavenport.com, and I'm on Twitter as RegalCreditMGMT. And I'll answer questions from there. But the website also does have some tips and different resources from the book as well.
Anthony Davenport, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you, Gloria.
Take care. All right, take care.